Good morning, Mishpacha. It's wonderful to be your guest. I brought something this morning of very great value that I'd like to share some thoughts about with you. It's something that it has very high value because Almighty God Himself esteems it very highly. And it's something that I'm sure most of us can relate to. And here it is. Dust. You can all relate to this, can't you? Because from dust we all came, and to dust we return. But today I'd like it to really sink in of what the Torah is telling us in the very first verses of the very first book. I said this is something that God really holds in high esteem. Such high esteem that the living Word of God Himself was sent by the Father to join us and take on this dust. And all that that means. And because of the way He took on the dust and operated from its limitations in our name as our covenant representative and our high priest, He was able to say to every human being that He created and sustains, come to Me. All those of you that labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Shabbat. Learn of Me, for I am meek and humble of heart. For My yoke is sweet, and My burden is light. Dust. So let's look at the Word of God and see what the Torah teaches us a little bit more about something that God holds in very high esteem. God tells us that in the garden, there was a tree of life. And to eat of the tree of life would impart eternal life. And every time after we read the Torah, we sing, Etz Chaim Hi, the tree of life. And the tree of life, according to what God is telling us, is the Word that comes forth from the mouth of God, the living, creative Word through which God does everything, the living, creative Word that speaks dust into human being. And not only speaks it into being, but so that it doesn't blink away and disappear, He keeps constantly sustaining, creating, providing, protecting, directing that dust. Moment by moment, step by step, situation by situation, issue by issue, the Word of God is creating and sustaining and protecting and providing and, if He is allowed, guiding and directing. So just for the sake of visual understanding, Let's say that God speaking his word is right here under the Star of David. Okay? This is the position from which God speaks his word to whatever he's creating and sustaining. Okay? So, according to the Torah, the proper position for little piles of dust that have been brought to life and made to be Adam, man, from Adama, dust. Cute little Hebrew play of words there. Dust man. See. See. The proper position for that, dust is pretty helpless, isn't it? Yeah. Pretty doggone bankrupt in itself. See what God's telling us? And so the proper position that Yeshua took when he took on our dust was that he never left here. Never. I don't say or do anything but what I hear my father say. See? I'm getting always download all the time, 100%, without a break, download from my father. Never do I come out from under that. See, that's Yeshua, the perfect human life. Not one speck or one second of radical independence from his Father, from the source of all things. Just think about that. It isn't that he took on flesh to become King Tut. A big deal. Somebody for the podium and the platform. No. He took on the form of a slave and made himself to be nothing. Zero. Dust before God Almighty. Adam. And there was another tree, wasn't there? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree that doesn't really exist in metaphysical reality. The tree that is a figment of Satan's imagination. The tree that he hypnotizes human beings into being able to see the way he sees it. It is the tree that bamboozles human beings, little piles of dust, into assuming you could be as God. You don't need to be there. Come over here. You could be as God. But the way you are now, is it good enough? You're not good enough standing under there. But you could be good enough if you do what I tell you, if you take matters into your own hands, if you become like me, radically independent, with a life of my own, doing my own thing, my own way. You could be as God too. So come on, get away from there and follow me. See, the word of anti-word of God, or anti-Messiah, or anti-Christ, is, don't listen to that. Get out from under that and follow me. And let's glut ourselves on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's figure it out for ourselves. Let's trust in our own understanding. Let's trust in our own limited perspective. Let's trust in our own opinion and our feelings. Don't listen to that. Follow me. Well, beloved, you know as well as I do that the entire world system is based on that lie. And see, the tragic part of it is that even when little piles of dust have the living God speak the most incredible talents and gifts into them, the intelligence and the wisdom and the abilities that they have, piles of dust can send people to the moon and back safe and sound. Piles of dust can write the most incredible poetry and literature. Piles of dust can build enormous structures that are beautiful. Piles of dust can heal and do brain surgery and amass billions of dollars. Piles of dust can cause giant corporations to erupt and business all over the globe to be done, while still under the delusion that they have a life of their own, that they're the hero of the story and the star of the show, and that they did it their way. And they will not give God the glory and the honor and the praise and the worship that he deserves, because they are caught in the coils of the serpent. Wow, that's heavy. No wonder Isaiah said, "Oh my God, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Oh God, have mercy." When he saw it, so we always have this choice to make. Which tree is real? In the world, the further you get away from the tree of life, the less real it seems, and the more real everything else seems, right? And in the world, it's like this enormous bazaar or buffet with all kinds of entrees of God as you like him, that human beings can shop through, picking and choosing what seems best to them, what kind of God would fit into their busy schedules and into their lives and into their agendas. Oh, God, have mercy. Listen to this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Wow, what a job description. And then you look at the applicant. Will this be able to control pit bulls and Doberman pinschers? Boa constrictors? Mad bulls? Will this be able to rule the oceans? Wow. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. You see what God's telling us? People are scared to death of Torah. You know why? Because it's got 613 commandments. And 10 biggies. You expect me to be good? You expect me to not lie? You expect me to not be murderously angry at my neighbor? Or to want what he's got? Me? How could you expect me to do that? See, well, that perspective is from the perspective of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil, isn't it? That's from the perspective of radical independence. I got to do it my way. It's all about me. I'm the hero of the story. I'm the star of the show. And maybe God will help me sometime. Crazy dust. Crazy dust. But that is the world perspective, isn't it? And everything around us is bombarding us with encouragement. Yes, you can do it. You can be all that you can be. Whatever the man, mind of man can dream and conceive, it can achieve. Oh, really? It sounds like the original. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Yeah, that sounds right, but you're missing something. You're missing it. If you think that it's all about you. Every commandment that God ever gives, every requirement that he gives to dust, can you see who he's really giving it to? Himself. The word that speaks forth and commands the dust is giving a command to the Holy Spirit of God. And he doesn't expect dust to go looking to other human beings or things made by human beings that are just as weak, helpless, and empty as they are, looking for something. There's only one source. We get so hung up on this and that, this ministry, that thing, this denomination, this theology. The latest self-improvement book. The latest drug. The latest pleasurable activity. There's only one source for everything. Anything that's real, anything that's true, and anything that is good. There's only one source. It comes from God, who gives it to us through his word. And by his loving Holy Spirit applies it and makes it real in our lives. The Lazarus principle is a principle that this world hates. This world doesn't want to hear it. Even the religious world doesn't want to hear it. You think we can afford to get away from Torah, do you? You think we can get away with not having to do with what it reveals? If we don't understand this principle, we won't understand anything that comes afterwards. We'll misinterpret everything. And it'll become a big Christian bazaar a big buffet with entree after entree after entree of God as you like him. God is as he fits into your agenda. But beloved, we will not get away with it. Not for a second. For from dust you have come, and to dust you will return. And then we will give an account to the Creator of all things for what we have allowed him to do with his dust. Because we don't understand that, we have a tendency to really get tough on ourselves and mean and nasty and down on ourselves for falling for that lie from the serpent that we're not good enough. And the implication always is, if you do 5,000 more push-ups, you will be good enough. If you get 10 gold medals, you will be good enough. If you get 36 PhDs, more than the 10 you already have, you'll be good enough. If you leave this denomination and go to that denomination, you'll be good enough. If you drop that theology and get this other one, you'll be good enough. If you drop that spouse and get this one, you'll be good enough. Whatever. Fill in the blanks. It all works the same. You're not supposed to be good enough. You're supposed to be dust. And just as helpless and dependent as a little child. For unless we change and become as little children, it won't occur to us to enter the kingdom of heaven. We'll be such hotshot, adult, mature, big shots, doing our own thing, going our own way, trusting our own perspectives, that we'll get lost. Maybe if we keep this in mind, the utter reality about ourselves, we'll begin to realize that if we think there's anything in us or about us that we can brag about, that we can take credit for, we're still not getting this. And so if we don't get it, then when we fail or things don't work right, don't we have a tendency to beat on ourselves and allow others to do it too? Oh, if only I wasn't so stupid. If only I wasn't so this or so that. If only I could change. If only I could not be what I am. What a scam. See, and then the real tragic thing is that I know, because we think that way about ourselves, we think that way about our brothers and sisters too. Shame on you, you're not good enough, but you could be. If you fill in the blanks, whatever. What a trap. We're just like a bunch of gerbils going in a circle. What a trap. And all the time we're all obsessing over all those things, we're being deprived of our true place before our Heavenly Father. We're out of position. We're not personal enough with our Creator, because we got the arrogance that comes from being spiritually blind. Because we don't have a clue. Because we don't get it. We don't understand what Torah is teaching us. It's not about the dust. It's about the one who speaks things into it. Lest any dust should boast.
That's right.
The one who took on dust, who is God Almighty. It's inconceivable how one so holy and righteous and pure could have taken it upon himself to willfully and deliberately, at his Father's command, come into this cesspool of corruption and iniquity and sinfulness and have to live in it and put up with it and take it all upon himself and atone for it. But you know why he could do that? Because he is the truth and he sees the truth and he knows that even when some of those dust piles were executing him and mocking him and taunting him, he could see what was really going on. And he could say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, have mercy. I'll pay their way. I'll fill in their blanks. I'll cover them under the shadow of my wings. Have mercy. Can you see that that is a revelation of God's heart for his people? No matter how rotten they become, how blind and twisted the serpent makes them, God values them to an infinite degree. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could see that, if we had the eyes to see that and to know that and to understand that when we look at one another, when we interact with our brothers and sisters, even though they may not have a clue, even though they may have really been banged up big time by the serpent, even though they've inherited generations and generations of iniquity, that wasn't even theirs, but they got it as children and don't have a clue as to who they really are or what they really are or why they're really here. They don't know. They don't have eyes to see or ears to hear or hearts to connect with. But God so loved the dust that he sent his only begotten Son, the living, creative Word of God himself, so that whoever would believe on him would receive everything necessary to be saved and restored and regenerated and cleansed and brought back and guided back to the true destiny and purpose for which God created all piles of dust. Isn't that simple? The gospel in Genesis. I'll bet it's everywhere else too. So I just like, before I close, I just like it to sink in a little bit. How much does God value and esteem and cherish and love and have compassion for the dust from which you come? What is in the infinite mind of Almighty God in terms of your destiny that he has in mind for each one, because he sent his Son for each one? What must their destiny be in the mind of God? And how far short of it are the lies of the serpent causing us to fall? How much love is that? How could this stand to be loved that much? Oh, Father, bring us home. Father, come. Speak your word into us again. The word that sets us free, the word that realigns, the word that gives us the wisdom to see and to understand your truth. The way it really is. The way it's really supposed to turn out to be. God, transform this pit of snakes in which we have to live into your kingdom. Teach us to bring down what is at your throne in heaven down to this demon-possessed earth. Let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done to us, in us, and through us, just the way you want it to be, in your infinite wisdom and understanding. Please let us get in touch with the mercy you have had on us. Help us to get in touch with the real purpose of your Son, that we may be so filled with it that we overflow and give it to everything around us and everyone in our life the way it really is. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We don't know what we're doing. They don't know what they're doing. But Father, give us what you sent your Son to earn for us. And let it be distributed by the power of your Holy Spirit as you have already ordained for it to be in heaven. It doesn't depend on us or how smart we are or how good we look or what kind of perfume we try to cover our corruption with. It doesn't depend on anything about us. It depends on you, Father. 100%. So please speak again into your people, into the dust. That we may fulfill the purpose you've given us to your total satisfaction and infinite eternal glory. In Yeshua's name, we pray.